Hello, hello. It is Michelle PW, and this is part two of the goal training, the initial goal training, which is all about your emotions, dealing with your emotions and your mindset so that your emotions and your mindset don't stop you. Or I should be more specific, your mindset blocks do not stop you. So to me, I know I've talked about this a little bit before, but I just want to bring it up one more time. One of the most underrated parts of setting goals is this idea that your goals is not dealing with the emotions that come up. Because the reality of the situation is when you are working towards a goal that is going to, when that goal comes true, you're going to be up-leveling yourself, stuff is going to come up. Fears are going to come up, grief may come up, resentment may come up, anger may come up, jealousy may come up, impatience, why isn't this happening faster, may come up, shame, guilt, you name it. It doesn't even have to be logical or rational, because remember, emotions are not logical and rational creatures. They are emotions. They are all about the feeling. So they you can't argue with them or reason with them. You really can feel them. But the problem is that we try to make our emotions have a reason. We try to give them logic and rationale and all of this other stuff. So when emotions come up that are uncomfortable, first of all, we don't want to feel them. We don't want to feel them. So we are right there inclined to want to go run off and do something that we normally do to stop feeling it, which in many cases is some form of distraction. Like, let's say we start a fight, or we gossip, or we start ranting on Facebook or something, because then, we create some sort of drama, because that drama is a really great way to focus on something else other than what we're feeling. We might go shopping. We might watch, we might entertain ourselves, start watching videos, cat videos, or even just regular TV shows, go binge watch Grey's Anatomy on Netflix. We may overeat, we may overdrink, you name it. So we may decide that we have to go take care of the laundry, because the laundry is just going to pile up and overtake everything, and we have to do it right now. So the other thing, that's one way that we deal with the emotions. And the second way is, we then decide that because we're feeling so bad, because we're feeling these fears, or we're feeling anger, or we're feeling grief, we decide that we make up the story that this is the universe's way of telling us that we shouldn't be working on those goals, that it's not the right time. It's usually what we think, right? It's just not the right time. Obviously this is a sign. It's not the right time. I should be doing it when the kids are in school, or the kids are out of school, or the kids are grown up, or after this, after this time has passed, whatever it is, dealing with the sick parent, or problems in the marriage. There's no end to excuses. And so when we think that, when we rationalize it, that this is just not the right time, this is the universe or God's way of telling us it's not the right time, then we stop working on it. And what happens? The fear-based emotions go away, right? So we feel better. So then we think we're right. When the reality of what happened is we went back down. That's why we stopped feeling bad, because rather than growing and becoming a better person and pushing outside of our comfort zone, we went right back into our comfort zone. And so, of course, when we go right back into our comfort zone, that's precisely where our ego and our subconscious wants us to be. Because if we're in our comfort zone, then we are safe. It doesn't matter if we are happy in our comfort zone. All that matters is that we are safe in our comfort zone, because our brains are designed to keep us safe, not necessarily to keep us happy. So that's what happens. And that's a little reason why, you know, when people talk about, because I mean, I don't know about you, but I was for a long time, I was very confused by this idea of like playing big, playing small, you know, you shrinking back down. I mean, all these words, it's like, what does that even mean? And when I finally saw it in my own life, that's when I started to realize what it meant was, you know, I would start to do something outside of my comfort zone, like, you know, write my book, launch a, you know, launch something, you know, become more visible in some way. And so then what would happen is I would, so if I started having doubts, or fears or whatever, in my case, what happens, I would get overwhelmed. So for instance, for me, like I would decide that I wanted to launch a product, and I would get super overwhelmed at the thought of launching a my own product. And I would have so much anxiety and I wouldn't have the time. Oh my God, I couldn't possibly have the time. So I was telling myself, I was giving myself this gift of pushing it back and not doing it. And see, the problem with some of this stuff is that there's truth, you know, and that's why it makes it kind of confusing, because there's truth in that and there's not truth in that. And so, because while it is true that I was putting stuff on myself, I was also letting myself off the hook, which was precisely what was happening over and over again. That was my pattern. So one of the things that I would love for all of you to look at is, what is your pattern? So in my case, my pattern is when I was getting ready to launch a new product or a new program or a new book, I would get overwhelmed and full of anxiety. So I would want to push off the deadline. So I want to push it away so I would work on it next month or next year or in 6 months or whatever it is. And that's what I would do. So if your pattern, though, you might have a different pattern. Maybe your pattern is you launch like a new product or program every week or once a month, and you're constantly churning stuff out and you never give yourself a chance to promote the content that you've already created. You just launch something and it falls flat, and then you go and create something new. And then that falls flat, and then you go create something new. So everybody's pattern is different, but likely if you look back at what you've been doing, you will see some clues. And so the first step in getting out of your comfort zone is to stop doing whatever it is your pattern was. So in my case, what I meant about the shrinking is that I would shrink back down and not and let myself off the hook from launching the product or launching the book or whatever it was. So that's how I would shrink. Other people might shrink because they would not be, they wouldn't be as visible as they want. They wouldn't go look on podcasts. You know, they wouldn't get interviewed on podcasts or on stages or whatever. So it can look different for everyone, but it's typically you're going back into your comfort zone rather than feeling uncomfortable and awkward and having a lot of fears and doubts and issues. You're going back to your old familiar habits and patterns of how you deal with things. So one of the things to look at, so we kind of in the first training went through kind of some mechanics of how to find your love-based goals, and then some exercises around, you know, turning those into breaking them down into action steps, you know, very chunks of time, so that you can put that into your calendar. And for this one, what I want you to look at is your emotions around it. And I want you to really look at your patterns. How do you normally react when you are starting to do things that are moving you towards your bigger goal, but are not what you feel comfortable doing? You know, how do you react? Do you procrastinate? Do you lose your focus? Does the laundry just have to get done right now? You cannot possibly wait. Do you check out? Do you do things, do you throw something together and throw it out there really fast and not do the necessary time and take the necessary time and patience to actually create it right? So make a note of that, because that's what I want you to really be aware of. So in our 90 days together, if you can start seeing that pattern come up, you'll know, and we can take some things to stop it. In addition to that, just make a note of it. And even if you aren't conscious of it, that might be something that I might ask you about. So as we work together, this might turn into something where I can bring it to your attention, or I might ask you, like, what's your pattern here? So to make you more aware and more conscious, the first step is really you becoming aware of what you do. And once you become aware of what you do, then you can start stopping it. And once you start stopping that pattern, that's when magic can happen. Okay. So now I want you to get out your worksheets for the mindset blocks. And what I want you to do is take your goals, and I want you to do some journaling around what's coming up for you every time you think about those goals coming true. So if you're thinking about having a six-figure business, what fears are coming up? And they don't have to be rational. Remember, this is not about rational or logical or what makes sense or anything like that. This is about fears or doubts or resentment or grief. I mean, maybe you could very well have grief locked into this. Like, maybe, you know, your dad was a successful entrepreneur and you miss him so much. And so you can't, you know, it's too hard to work on your business. Which sounds silly when I say it, but like the point of all this is that you likely haven't said it because you're afraid it does sound silly. And since you haven't said it, there's a lot of power in there that's really preventing you. So this is the first step to really let it out. So all of your goals, I really want you to start by writing down all the fears and every single one of them, and there might be a bunch of them, or resentments or grief or anger. If you're angry at somebody, like maybe somebody didn't support you, like your parent told you, you know, you can't do anything creative because that doesn't make any money, whatever it is, just write it all out. And, you know, you can come back to this too. You can start it now. And this might be a longer process, because sometimes it takes a while to really uncover all those fears. All right. And then the next thing, after you've got all the fears out, or as many as you can at this point in time, then I want you to start identifying them. And part of what I want you to do is kind of group all the fears into different blocks, because depending on what the block is, you might want to pick a different tool. So for instance, if you find that you have a lot of blocks around, like, rich people are greedy or evil or mean or something like that, or going to hell, obviously you don't want to be greedy or mean or go to hell, so you can't be rich, but then you want to make have a six or seven figure business. So obviously you have to kind of reconcile that. So you may want to do some specific work around your feelings about rich people and how you got that and why you and kind of dig underneath that block and see about really just releasing it. You might have other blocks that you're afraid that if you become too successful, your family will leave you, or they'll stop loving you. Or you might have blocks around, like, if you make too much money, or, you know, you can't make more money than your father, because that would just be awful. You know, whatever it is. So that's why, you know, block, you know, you might, because you're going to notice themes. So it's really good if you can kind of group your blocks into the specific themes, because then you can kind of, when you start working through the exercise, you know, you're kind of hitting different themes. And also, you know, the more you phrase things, you're going to see just how deep the blocks are, because you might have to use a few different clearing things. You might have to do a few different tools to really get at it. Like, you might need, like with me, what I found was a really powerful combination is to meditate and journal. So journaling allows me to sort of mentally process whatever it is that I'm going through. And then the meditation allows me to just sort of feel my emotions and breathe and center and ground myself. So two very different tools, but when they work together, they work together really beautifully, so that I can really kind of bust through blocks. So that's kind of why I want you to sort of group the themes. And then the next part of the exercises, so I'm not going to really go through it here, because you can kind of read it, are three exercises around getting through your blocks. So the first one is just simply breathing. Yeah, just breathe. Breathing is always good. So this has been the key to all of this stuff that for me. So is just feeling the emotion and breathing into that emotion and just pausing and breathing and feeling. So you can also turn this into a meditation, but it's just really pausing and breathing in the emotion, because remember, emotions just want to be felt. They don't want to be lectured to or argued or rationalized or discussed or whatever. They do not use words. Words are on the side of your mental. Emotions don't have any words. Emotions are just about feeling. So pause, breathe, feel, and then they will move on. All right, but it's not always easy to do that, nor is it always the best idea. Like if you have some really, really deep trauma, you may want to go see a psychologist or a psychotherapist or a professional. But if you've got trauma, you may want to do something a little bit more gentle. So that's where like emotional freedom technique or tapping can help. And there's plenty of videos online. I'm not a tapping expert, but I would highly encourage you to, if this is something of interest to you, to go get some to watch the videos. There's free videos, plus you might want to do some training if you want to up level it a little bit and learn how to use tapping. And then the third one is Byron Katie's The Work, and she's got this whole thing on her website, which is thework.com, and I also have detailed it in this as well, so you can kind of see how it goes. And that's a really good journaling exercise, so that can be very, very helpful to really kind of, you know, get at the story. So that's what the Byron Katie's really doing. So it's basically the breathing is really about the emotional piece of it, and Byron Katie's The Work is really about the mental or the journaling or getting into the story behind the emotion. So those two, that's why I picked these three, because these three kind of go at the block in different ways, and they can be really successful using them all three together. Now, the third thing that I really want to talk about, because I think this is very important, is part of what I feel like with love-based goals is these are whispers from your soul, and your soul is calling for you to become a better, higher version of yourself. And the goals are kind of your love-based goals are kind of the carrot or the reward to do that. But the thing is that even if this is an identity you don't want, your current identity right now that you don't want, you don't like, is you are a wannabe writer or you are a wannabe six-figure business owner, but you're not a six-figure business owner yet. So even if this is a very much an undesirable identity, you will still grieve it. So it you just will, because it's safe and it's what you're used to. And quite honestly, if this is your identity, you got something out of it. You may not want to admit you got something out of it, because that's kind of a nasty thing to admit, because who wants to admit that they have an identity that's kind of a failure, or in your view is a failure. It may not be a failure, but in your view, you may view it as a failure. So who wants to admit any of that? And so it can be, and so you have this horrible identity. Why the heck would you possibly grieve it? Well, like I said, emotions, you can't argue with them. Just prepare for it. And if it turns out you don't grieve for it, that's fine. But again, this is something else that I think that we just don't take in account of, because we're not prepared for feelings of grief to emerge when we're transitioning to an identity that we very much want. And it doesn't make sense to us. So we push it away. We push those feelings away of grief, because we're like, why are we grieving? This is silly. It doesn't make any sense. So we push it away. We refuse to feel it. And then every time we refuse to feel an emotion, it doesn't go away. It keeps circling back and coming back and gets in our way and prevents us from moving forward. So I really want, I would really love for you to at least, you know, do this a little bit, because I think this is going to really help you actually transition to the new identity. So to grieve your identity, so first off, I've got, you know, some exercises here. So to do some journaling around the question is how are you benefiting around your current identity? And I think that that's important, because I think you need to, you know, it's almost like thank your current identity. Thank your current identity for keeping you safe, because that's what it was trying to do. And for helping you out, because, you know, at one point this identity was probably helpful and it's just not helpful anymore. So it needs to move on. So, but if you can at least get to that point of gratitude, then, you know, you can just, you know, be grateful for it and release it. And then you want to move into, so like forgiveness, you know, so I have like, because you're probably going to want to forgive, you're probably going to need to forgive somebody. You might want to forgive yourself, or you might need to forgive another person. And I've got two rituals that I lined up where you can write a letter. Forgiveness letters are really great, where you can write a forgiveness letters to yourself, or to other people who stood in your way. And then you can also do the, I can't really say it, but it's the Hawaiian ritual, the Ho'oponopono ritual. And it's a Hawaiian practice that's also really good around forgiveness. So you could do both of them. You could just do one, but to really just forgive the fact that your old identity, that this was your old identity and it was holding you back, because just, you know, I mean, it's time to, you're not forgiving, you're forgiving so that you can move forward. You're forgiving so you can give yourself peace. And you don't, if somebody, you don't have to tell anybody in your past that you're forgiving them. You don't have, this isn't about reconnecting or doing anything like that. It's just simply about you grieving and you forgiving yourself and everybody else, so that you can put that old identity to bed and then step powerfully into the new one. So that completes the emotional training. And again, we're going to be really talking more about this on January 3rd and actually throughout the whole 90-day process, but at least we'll get you started and you can start getting the practices in place so you will be prepared. I will see you all later.